Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the Lucky Few podcast, where we are shifting the narrative by shouting the worth of people with Down syndrome. This is Heather,
Mercedes,
and Micah.
And today we are going to be joined by Emily Heise, a pediatric physical therapist and the president of Kinesio Kids. We are so excited to learn from her. Thank you for joining us, friends, and welcome to the Lucky Few podcast.
Physical therapy, my friends. I have spent a lot of days with physical therapy.
Yes. With it.
And in places and in my home. Mm-hmm. And rolling on balls.
So many things. So many things.
I know today when in this interview, we're going to talk a lot about early childhood physical therapy. What are the things you guys remember from those early days with your kiddos?
I have one and I have to share it because it was like my all-time favorite. So Sunflower being my first, it was kind of fun to do all the physical therapies, the OTs and stuff. Because, you know, when you only have one baby, you're like, okay, now what are we going to do today?
Totally.
Like, there's not a lot to do. So I thought it was the best. It was like, oh, my little mom groups, you know?
Uh-huh.
And we'd go and to this great one called ICEC. It was in Laguna Beach. We'd go every Wednesday and they'd have like a day, a theme for the day. And they always had a sensory pool, you know, one of those like plastic pools full of like Cheerios or rice or like a little ball in it, you know, and you just like stick your baby in it. And when you have a baby with Down syndrome, well, I shouldn't say all because that's generalizing. My baby with Down syndrome, Sunflower didn't like eat the food. Like if I put any of my boys in there, they would have eaten the food. She didn't eat any of the food, but you can tell that she had sensory because you would put her in and for a second, she'd have like a moment of shock. And mm-hmm. then she would just like flap her legs and her arms. And it was just the cutest thing. And you could just tell that all of her friends were having the same experience. You would all of a sudden see these cute little babies with sensory, high sensory abilities, I guess you would say, be placed by their mothers in these like bins of stuff. And they would just like endure like a little bit of shock and then kind of like, ooh, ease into it. And it was just so silly and cute.
It's so fun. I love, because I've known you since Sunny was a tiny, teeny tiny in the beginning. Yes. And I loved that you had that group.
It was great.
Because we, where we lived, didn't have any kind of a group option. It was just someone came to the house and then we would do it through our insurance and go to like a facility. And yeah. I just remember with Macy. So Macy didn't take her first steps until she was 2 years, 10 months is her first step. And she wasn't really walking until 3. And that felt really late, even in the Down syndrome space. That felt late to me. And we had a walker, which was just the best.
Oh my gosh.
You guys, a baby and a walker.
Unreal. I didn't know anything got cuter.
Exactly.
Can we have a true confessions Instagram moment?
Yes.
Ace was born and I started following you guys on Instagram. That was right when Sunflower was walking with her walker.
And you about died.
And I was like, this is the most adorable child I've ever seen. Mercedes had posted about a play date and she's like playing at the playground with her walker and I melted into a little puddle. I think I was probably breastfeeding Ace at that moment. When I think of a little child with the walker, the little metal grade
yep.
grandma walkers, I think about Sunflower.
Little so Sunny good. May. Oh my gosh, it was the best.
So good. And Mason did a treadmill too. Like they put her in a harness and put her on a treadmill to walk. So have you ever heard of this?
Cute. Yes.
Oh, that's
so cute.
And I just remember she would be totally harnessed. And like how you're saying Sunflower would just be like flap around initially, like,
how do I do
like,
this?
I wish you guys could see it. She would like tense up her whole body initially, like they'd go to put her feet down and she would just like fly, like her arms up, legs up, like,
yeah, yeah. This is a lot.
And I just thought, oh gosh, these are the best things ever. Like, how every parent doesn't get to have their kid harnessed over a treadmill with like the therapist, like stomping their feet, you know? She'd take a couple steps on her own and then she'd like flail her body or like tighten up her body. And
yes, oh, it's so cute. But you're like, wow, you guys are really learning something right now. It's hard work. It's so cute.
Yes. I feel like in those beginning days with Macy, and I feel like it now too, anytime there's a milestone or something that needs to be learned that is so, that we don't have to think about, you know, like sitting up. When Macy sat up for the first time independently, she was 10 months old when she was able to sit, to go from tummy to push herself up into sitting. And we had worked with a physical therapist for months and months and months and months, every like 2-3 days a week on that skill. And then watching other babies do it and like thinking, whoa, there's a lot going on for a kid to have to learn to go from their tummy to a sitting position. There's so many steps there and you just take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
All the steps that our kids have to be taught often.
I feel like, Heather, you kind of told me, we talked about this because both having our first kiddos who have Down syndrome, then having the second, you just kind of think your second's like, look at this genius athletic all-star. Got up on his own. I do nothing for him.
not one therapy session and he is sitting. Yeah, like truly. I'm like, not one therapy session. She just pulled herself to standing. Whoa.
Whoa. Get this kid in the Olympics. Exactly. You're just shocked that a natural development can just happen. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It made me shocked. And then it also mourned. That was a moment of mourning of like, whoa, Sunflower really has Down syndrome. Mm. That was a moment where I felt like I understood it in a different way again.
Interesting.
Like it is really hard. Like it is really hard for you to get these natural motor skills or these milestones on your own. And so then I felt bad for her as I was like also cheering on my little dude. Complicated.
It is complicated. It is. And it is like, I think the amazing thing about physical therapy is the way that they have figured out how to break it down where, you know, because those things with a typically developing kid just happen. It is both, like you said, Heather, miraculous for it to just happen. Mm-hmm. And also amazing that there are experts who've been able to break it down piece by piece and make it something that can be taught. And yeah, I think whenever I see Ace running and kicking a ball or playing on the swing by himself, I'm like, man, he had to work so hard to get those things. And I'm so grateful.
Yeah. 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 I'm excited for my conversation with Emily if you want to listen to that. But before we transition over to that, Mercedes, you want to read a review from this week?
Yes. Okay. So SD Karen F wrote, thank you for putting this out in the world. As a rockin' mom, I love what you are doing. Thank you, Karen F. You're amazing. And friends, don't forget to review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts so we can read it aloud next week. We love reading these and appreciate your support so much. Thank you guys for taking the time to write these reviews. They mean a lot to us.
Yes, we love them. Micah, you have to tell Mercedes and our listeners about what you got about that review book.
Oh, I know. I need to show Mercedes.
What's this review book?
So I got this thing for Christmas from my older boys. And then I didn't tell you guys because I was going to make you one for our 100th episode. And then I failed as a human. And just showed it. I saw Heather last week and I showed it to her. But it's this adorable little book that August and Brooksy made for me. And it is full of our listeners' reviews.
No way.
And it's printed out really cute on every page, different reviews. And my favorite is the cover on the back that says, dear mom, I didn't know anybody listened to your podcast. Well, anyway, love, Brooks.
Well, kudos to you, mom. That is so cute. Oh, I love it.
It's so good.
So yes, listeners, not only do we see your reviews online, but my kids might just print them out and make a book into your review. Make your review into a book.
Yes. Yes. Your review may be in printed form, book form.
Your review helps my family to believe that I'm doing something when I record.
Oh, it's so good. But in all honesty, reading through, like seeing them all compiled, because I read them all because it just means so much. I mean, it means so much. So it was sweet to see them all compiled there and then to see your boys finally believe in you.
So cute. I love so it. Good.
All right, friends. Let's move now to my conversation with Emily Hazy. All right, friends, I'm so excited today to introduce you to Dr. Emily Hazy. She's been a pediatric physical therapist for over 10 years now, and she is the president of Kinesio Kids, an online platform dedicated to helping little ones grow into the best version of themselves, which I think we're all in support of that. So Dr. Emily, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your expertise with us. So let's start with an introduction. I'd love to know where you're located, a little more about your family, your career.
Yeah. So I'm located here in the DFW area in Dallas, Texas. Specifically, I'm in South Lake, which is closer towards Fort Worth, let's say, but kind of right in the heart of Dallas. And I, like you said, I've been practicing for about 12 years, but over the past year have started this business, right? That started off of Instagram, Kinesio Kids. And I actually treat here as well in person, and have other therapists that work for me. So we treat in person as well as, virtually. My husband's also a physical therapist. We met in PT school, and he works with adults, like total hip and total knee replacements. And I have two little girls, Hannah, who is 5, and Heidi, who is 4.
Very cool. Did you always know you wanted to go into physical therapy?
No, I mean, I think my freshman year of college, I was a dance major. But I knew I wanted to do something with the body, and I don't think I thought I was going to probably ever make it as a dancer. So, I think, anatomy, physiology always just really made a lot of sense. And teaching kiddos how to like perform some of these gross motor skills is like teaching someone how to dance, you know? Mm-hmm. So it always made sense to me, how to break things down, skills and everything. So it came naturally.
Okay. And you work with all different kids, not just kids with Down syndrome, correct?
Yeah.
Just all different kinds of kids. But mm-hmm. I would imagine you have clients who have Down syndrome.
I do. Yep. I have about like 3 on my case, 3 or 4 right now.
Okay. Yeah. So the majority of our audience is, I would say it's probably mostly moms, dads, and other folk out there. We love you and see you. And most of us have kids with Down syndrome. So let's talk about some of the common reasons that a child with Down syndrome needs physical therapy.
Okay. So There can be things that are congenital. There are things that are characteristic of Down syndrome, but I would say in general, no two kids, no matter what the diagnosis is, but definitely no kids, two kids with Down syndrome are the same. Mm-hmm. So kind of when I'm talking about different things, this is a generalization. And also I think it should be noted that, you know, just because they have a Down syndrome diagnosis, that isn't going to necessarily define them and make them always be a candidate for therapy. Some kids don't need physical therapy, and some kids do. So it just kind of waxes and wanes. There's a couple of heart issues that are characteristic that children with Down syndrome would be born with that would cause some difficulty with those early motor skills, weight bearing through their arms, that will delay the crawling and things like that. But in general, kiddos with Down syndrome have very low muscle tone. So that means that they just have very flexible joints. And with that low muscle tone comes like increased energy expenditure in order to move. So sometimes they don't want to move as much because it's hard. It's like 2 to 3 times harder than it is for us to lift up our arm or stand up. And also with that increased mobility, they may have to have an orthotic or like a brace for their ankle so that they're able to stand. They may have to have some additional support on their trunk so that they're able to kind of be aware of their body and improve their balance. So those are just kind of some of the things that go along with it that could contribute to some like delays, either early on or a little bit later on.
Okay. And in regards to hypotonia, so I have a 7-year-old with Down syndrome and I have a 12-year-old with Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting hearing you talk about how in order for them to do all those gross motor movements, they're going to exert, it's going to require more energy from them and they tire more easily. Even with physical therapy, which my kids have had in some capacity the majority of their life. Is that something that follows them into adulthood, people with Down syndrome, like the hypotonia?
I would say that early, being proactive and starting physical therapy early, and by early, I mean prior to the age of 3, can really change the outcome of how they're going to expend energy. They will always have low muscle tone, but being able to properly use the muscles and learning how to do an activity the correct way can really help with energy expenditure. Okay. So an example of that would be if a child has very flexible ankles, and if they decided, a lot of times I will get them little orthotics, little SMO, something to kind of help brace their ankle. If you brace the ankle in the proper alignment, then those bigger muscles, the quads and the hamstrings and the glutes, can now turn on properly and fire properly. Okay. If not, then we're kind of fighting against this alignment at the ankle. And now these muscles are kind of always turned on and not in the right way. So that would be a kind of something that we can modify early on and teach those muscles how to work properly to where as they get older, they're not going to have issues.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I feel like kids with Down syndrome, I'll speak for my kids. They'll shut down, like physically stop doing things. And I think oftentimes it's looked at as like a behavior.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like their bodies are actually exerting so much more energy just to do the thing that I just do on the regular basis.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of times kiddos will throw fits and just, you know, like lose their mind, but it's not because they don't want to move. Kids, no matter what their genetic makeup, they're inherently want to move, but it's very frustrating when their mind wants to do something and their body isn't along for the ride. So it's giving up.
That's a good way to put that. Okay. We asked our listeners on Instagram. We asked those who listen to the podcast and are active on Instagram. We asked them if they had questions. And so we got some specific, some that are broader. You sort of touched on this, but maybe you could go a little bit deeper. Someone asked what can parents do at home to prevent gross motor delays and or to continue gross motor skill development?
Yeah, I think being proactive, meaning let's not wait until something isn't happening before we go talk to the doctor or seek out physical therapy. Let's think of it as like a wellness approach. And I think this should be really with any kiddo or adult. Yeah. What's the best way to kind of live and go about our day to where we are keeping our body, you know, at the most healthy so we can do everything we want to do. So with that being said, you know, the orthotics or just having a good pair of shoes, a good rigid pair of shoes can go a long way. And that's something that I talk a lot about on my Instagram account and that I teach other therapists about, that if a child doesn't have the proper shoes to support their feet, especially a kiddo that has, you know, some inherent mobility issues, they will 100% will not want to do those higher level skills. So that's the first and foremost, that being proactive and getting a good pair of shoes. I kind of go into the different details, but just having a little bit more of a high top, a stiff heel cup, a nice closure that is Velcro, can kind of keep that heel in there. Nothing that can break in half. Mm-hmm. So that's like one big thing. Two, I think it's, like I said earlier, trying to make sure, because we know those compensations will probably be there because of the increased mobility, but getting some assistance prior to the age of three can really help with the frustration that kiddos will have with trying to do these higher level skills, because they have started with a good foundation of strength. And then always, you know, just knowing that and being understanding of, yes, movement is hard, but movement is part of our life. And we can't kind of make excuses for that, but we need to find ways that we're comfortable with it. And so there's always an activity out there for someone, and it doesn't have to look the same way. So maybe a lot of kids do soccer or baseball, but what about taekwondo? And what about golf? What about horseback riding? There's a lot of different ways to include movement and exercise into our life that may just look a little different, and it's still fun though.
That's great. It makes me think about my daughter, Macy, who's 12, and she, so those first 3 years, we did so much PT. I mean, a lot. I'd say her first 5 years, and she took her first step. She was 3 years, 10 months old when she took her first step. And that's not true. 2 years, 10 months. She was almost 3 years old when she took her very first step, and we used a walker and we did all the things. And, and then as she's gotten older, she's incredibly active. She's a dancer. And so she dances and dances and dances and dances, but we're not seeking out any kind of physical therapy support
because now. Because she has that foundation.
Okay. Strong. And I was going to say, for people who have like preteens and teens, is there anything, should I be more proactive, or have we like reached the level we need to be? You know what I mean?
I would say anytime that you see a kiddo struggling with something, or they're kind of shying away from doing something that other kids are doing, that's kind of your indication that maybe something needs to be looked at or seen. Okay. If they have, you know, a kiddo not doing something is typically either due to a confidence thing or a pain thing, and they just don't know how to tell you that it's painful, so they just don't do it. So that's kind of where you have to look a little bit deeper. That's maybe a little red flag. But in general, if they are engaging and they're doing everything that they want to be doing, and they feel kind of fulfilled in that, and then no, I don't think there's any need to seek out therapy because you can just get as much exercise and kind of development just through doing everything, everyday things like we were talking about with the taekwondo and the horseback riding. Mm-hmm. So no, I wouldn't say, I mean, that's why I always say that birth to three is that foundational strength, because once you have that, the rest kind of just falls in place.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Another question that you've touched on this also, but maybe more specific. So someone wanted to know, what are the best ways to get physical therapy into play? So you talked about joining the different sports, but are there certain ways, thinking even in that 0 to 3 age group, what are some of the best ways to get PT into play?
Yeah. Well, I always, talk about purposeful play, on Instagram or on my, when I'm with clients. And what that means is, you don't necessarily have to be on 20%, you know, 100% of the day, right? I call it like my 20 minutes of purposeful play. So I take a skill that maybe is more challenging for a kiddo. Usually that's like a tummy time or getting, you know, trying to get them to take steps. So we're going to balance in the middle of the floor. Take 20 minutes a day and use that time to work on this more challenging skill. The rest of the day, don't worry about it. Let them play. Let them enjoy, but that's all you need to continue development and to move it forward. So I guess think of it like, don't think of it as you're needing to add in gross motor play with every single activity. Think about it more as, let's make a little bit of time intentional, and then let's let them just do their thing and they'll develop.
It's super helpful, that 20 minutes a day. I remember in those early years getting all the, like, I'm using air quotes, homework from our PT and OT and everyone. And then they'd come the next session and I'd be like, oh man, I didn't even touch it. Like I didn't even
it's hard. Yeah.
Do that intentional thing. But I feel like you can do almost anything.
You could do anything for 20 minutes.
For 20 minutes, you can make that work. That's good advice. Yeah. Okay. Another question we had from a listener is, this is specific to a 2-year-old. So they just want to know, in your opinion, how many times a month is it necessary for a 2-year-old to have physical therapy?
Well, it really depends on where they are in their skill set. So if they are delayed, so is this 2-year-old walking or are we just working on more jumping and going up and down stairs? Where are we at that 2 years? So if we are, you know, a year behind in gross motor skills, then they at least need to be getting therapy twice a week. Because you're just not going to see the progress in any other frequency less than that. If you're working on more higher level skills to where maybe we're just looking at possibly like a 6-month delay, then a lot of times you can add in some of those adjunct activities outside of PT to kind of follow up and get the strengthening as well. And just one time a week would be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that 4 times a month.
So once kids get into preschool, I know this is for my kids. I'm in California. Mm-hmm. Physical, and it was at 0 to 3 years. You know, you're talking about that foundation. And then physical therapy became less, I feel like it was taken over by adaptive PE. Like, do you guys use adaptive PE in Texas? Is this a nationwide thing or a state thing?
No. I think they really try to streamline like the kiddos in to any just like regular like gym class like here in Texas.
Okay. Yeah. Cause we have my kiddos will go to PE and then do a pull out with an adaptive PE teacher who's working on specific, usually gross motor skills and sports skills that my kids need extra help on. But it always felt like it was in place of physical therapy.
Yeah. You felt like there was still gains being made, you mean?
Yeah. It was almost like we graduated from PT into APE, but maybe that was just specific to my district. It's sounding like,
I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, and since I'm, you know, private PT and not in the schools, I don't know. I mean, I think what I've heard is they try to streamline everyone in, but for all I know, they do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so different in even like the term streamlining, I think is so different state to state and.
Yes, it is everything.
Yeah, that's a different conversation for sure. Yes. What are things like, if you were to write like top 5 most important things for a parent to do with their kid who has Down syndrome in birth to three?
I think the number one thing is like making movement a part of their day, but knowing that there may need modifications in order to do that, like we were talking about with the shoes or maybe additional time to do it, but making it so that it's not a negative thing, but you have to instill that early because it will become negative and then they won't want to move at all. And they're just going to fight back against you. But if movement, and that goes with the parents, that means the parents need to be going for walks together with the kiddo. Everyone needs to be riding their bike. Everyone needs to be going, you know, doing this. So it's like, make it a family thing and make it fun so that it doesn't feel like exercise. It just feels like this is what we do and you've never known anything different.
Yeah.
So I think first and foremost that, and just knowing that while there are limitations, those limitations are not defining. There is no set criteria of what they're going to achieve and what they're not. Every kid is different and whether they have Down syndrome or not. So it's just let them be and know that, you know, keep your expectations high. And that I feel like that is going to help in general with the parents' kind of well-being.
Yeah.
As well as the kiddos. And then, yeah, like we talked about, birth to three, being proactive instead of reactive and figuring out what can I do as a parent to really set their body up for success. Mm-hmm. Those are like kind of the biggest.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. Those are super helpful. If someone's listening and they somehow either they have a brand new baby or they're pregnant with a child with Down syndrome, or for whatever reason, their kid is not in PT and they're thinking, where do I start with this? Is it just simply talking to their pediatrician or reaching out to a private practice? What's your suggestion?
Yeah, I think starting with your pediatrician is usually where most people start, but also recognizing that if you're not getting the support from your pediatrician, which you typically will, but sometimes there is more of a wait and see approach. And that's not with pediatricians, that's just as a whole in our culture. Sure. There's a little bit more wait and see. That you don't need a prescription in order to go get a physical therapy evaluation. Now, insurance may not cover if you go without a prescription, but if you need to, if you feel like you are need to go, you're not, your pediatrician is not behind you, you can do that. You can go anywhere you want. But with that being said, yeah, most people will start with a pediatrician. They will have a list of different resources, whether that is through early intervention or through a private PT or school PT.
Okay. And that's, I mean, this is basically what you're doing through Kinesio Kids, right? You're offering these services. Tell us a tiny bit more about that. And if people are locally, how they can find you. And if they're not locally, how they can get in contact with you.
Yeah. So I offer both virtual wellness, which is, it isn't physical therapy, but it is me educating a lot of like what we're talking about, but being more specific with motor development, giving them ideas, ways to strengthen what specifically might help their child. So that's wellness based. And I do that virtually and I can do that anywhere. You can get that through my website and you can sign up. And then we just kind of go from there. Usually I do about, it's usually half and half, half in person, half virtually throughout my week. And then the same thing goes with in-person sessions. Now that is, or in Texas, that is considered physical therapy. So that would be more of me going into the past medical history. If I need to get orthotics or any type of equipment that they may need, that would be more in this realm. And they can also do that through my website. You can also contact me though with any of my links that are in my bio and Instagram.
Okay. And what's your Instagram handle?
It's KINESIO_kids.
Great. And we will have links, listeners, to all of those things in our show notes and on our Instagram page as well. Okay. You are so smart and lovely and helpful in this conversation, Emily. Thank you. Before we sign off, is there anything else you want to share with listeners?
Yeah. Probably in the next, I'm just revamping my website. And I, you know, I get a lot of questions about how do I get my kiddo to crawl? How do I get my kiddo to walk? How do I get my kiddo to roll? And it, like we talked about, it starts with a good foundation, but then also some specific strengthening activities. So here in the next month or two, I will have all of those courses that can be purchased and they're videos. So they're really short, they're sweet, they're easy to follow. And those could be for anyone because it's just setting the foundation. So whether your kiddo has a diagnosis or not, it applies because we're just taking all of that strength that we're supposed to have when we start and we're born and going back, building it up and then moving forward and teaching these skills.
That's awesome. That's such a great resource. Thank you. Thank you so much. And again, thank you for your time.
Yes, absolutely.
For answering our questions. And like I said, we'll have links to all the ways to find you and to get a hold of those resources that you've listed.
Great.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your day.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye. Okay,
bye. Okay, ladies. Emily is so smart. And I think you have to be super smart to become a physical therapist, pretty sure. But I really loved, one of the things that I really liked that she shared about is this idea of you have to lay that foundation. So the part of the conversation I had with her, you know, Mason's now 12, almost 13, and we're just not doing physical therapy. And right now, and we might not need to because of that foundation, you know, like those first few years, those early years that we were kind of talking about at the beginning of the show, where our kids are just working so hard, you know, so hard to sit up or so hard to take their first steps or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And once you've got that foundation laid, it makes sense. Then everything physically builds upon that, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you guys doing anything with physical therapy right now with your kiddos?
Ace is doing hippotherapy, and I've shared about it on my Instagram. He goes once a week and rides horses. And for a while it was combined with speech. He would meet with a speech therapist after. Mm-hmm. And now he's just meeting with a physical therapist after. And for me, it's kind of less about the stuff that he does with the physical therapist is more like following directions, which I think is good for him. So it's like, we're going to jump on 2 feet here and then we're going to throw the beanbag into the bucket kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's really good for him to have like 2-3 step directions. Mm-hmm. But I love seeing what's happening for him with the horse. Mm-hmm. He just has such a connection with animals, and he loves riding on his horse, Jax. And I love watching it because I feel like there's such an experience between the two of them. The therapist was saying this past week that at one point Ace leaned really far to the right in a way that wasn't safe. And Jax, the horse, like turned his head and looked at him on that side. And then Ace leaned to the left and Jax did the same thing. So they just kind of like feel each other. And I've noticed a big change in his core just riding the horse. He just has to keep himself steady while he's on it, while it's moving. And so when I pick him up now, Ace is still, he's 36-pound 6-year-old. He's a tiny little guy. But when I hold him by his ribs or his stomach, it just feels different than it used to. Feels less slippery. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
Like our kiddos with Down syndrome being slippery. He's just like got some muscle going on in there. And I think it has to do with the horses.
Oh, I love that. Sunny Mae, we've done like everything. We did a little bit of horseback riding at one time for a year. Physical therapy, we did that straight until she was like 6, and then when we moved we didn't to Redlands for the year, we didn't pick up physical therapy, but in its place we had a pool and she became an epic swimmer. And we've always hiked, and she's always been a big park goer. She loves to climb. So I think for Sunflower, we've just taken the approach of making physical, I don't know how to explain it. She just lives a very physical
an active
lifestyle. Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much. So I think, that's been really awesome for her. And I can tell when we're not doing enough physical activity, or I can tell when, you know, you go in seasons of like, hey, we haven't been able to make it out on a hike for a while. We haven't had a pool since we've moved. I can tell when she'll start biting her nails. You could tell there's some sort of thing her body needs more. Mm-hmm. And we put the swings up and now she's swinging like crazy. I think her body does actually crave PT and physical activity. So that's something we desire to pick up again for her. Even like you were saying, Micah, even for direction following, because she actually likes to be challenged. So following directions, completing a physical fitness task, she's really motivated by that. But I haven't wanted to do it through Zoom, and it hasn't been offered in person to us yet. So we're kind of still waiting, but we just went to Sedona and all my kids did awesome. Shep had a harder time, but Sunny was hiking 4 miles every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's doing it. She would take breaks. She's not like the perfect little peanut, but I mean, she'll do it, you know, and it's really great.
Yeah. And it's like that. She's got the foundation, right? Yeah. So it's not even that. I think what I noticed with Macy in August is if something comes up that it's like, they can't access whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then that's like, all right, let's talk to the pediatrician. Let's get a referral to a physical therapist. But because the foundation is there, they're able to navigate a playground and walk a long distance and run and swim and do all those things that they can do, you know, or wherever, whatever level your child's at, that foundation's there is so important. So.
Yeah. I think that makes so much sense that you pursue the foundation in the early years. And then as they become older kids, you find what works for them physically. Mm. And so for Mason, she is getting her needs met through hip hop. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and you know, for Sunflower, swimming and hiking. And I think Ace's, like, the horse stuff is meeting his needs, swinging, like all day long swinging and digging in dirt and sand and all those things, like those sensory needs. It's everything is so combined, you know. Yeah. I think separate things into OT and PT and, like, you know, but it all connects to each other, and speech too, they all connect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. We need to get an expert, a hippotherapy expert on. If that is you and you are listening, please email us at hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com, because I am very interested in that. It's one of those therapies that doesn't feel very accessible to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I don't know even I think logistically it's not accessible. And then financially, if it is there, if like the logistics work, then the finances might not match up. But I've only heard incredible things about it. We've never really had access to it. I would need to do a little deep dive, but I would love to know more from an expert. Yeah, so
it is very inaccessible. I was on a wait list for a year in San Francisco, and it was for a place an hour away that I was sort of like, if my name ever comes up, I don't think I can make that drive.
Right.
And so there's, it's, and here my insurance is paying for it, but
amazing.
Always the case. So it's tricky.
Yeah. And I didn't ask Emily about that. So maybe Emily's the expert and she'll come back on. Let us know.
Well, this has been such a great conversation, and I'm so glad we got to have Emily on today and just be reminded of that, the importance of those early years. And now it's time for our favorite part of the episode. We call that good news. We call it good news. So truly, there you go.
Ready? Mm-hmm. Okay. Time for good news. Time for good news. Everybody, welcome to the good news. Yeah, yeah.
All right, good news, my friends.
I feel like Cindy Mae is always up to something. Our kids are always up to something.
I know.
I guess that is my good news. Just that camping, she's just really great. Sedona was awesome, outdoors, and everybody left me like a Sunflower. I think still, because she's my daughter and I see her all the time, I can forget how when we're in a group setting with other people, especially our nature group who we don't see too often, how they're being exposed to a person with Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. You know, like I forget that because it's my life. Right. And she just climbs like a champ. Like I'm hardly ever worried about her making it to the top of a rock formation as I am for Rhodes or Shepherd, who are my clumsier boys, because Sunflower nails it. And it was just really neat to see her show that off to her peers and to other people, you know. It just, it's really cool. So I guess that's my good news. She's
good news,
a Sunny, rock climber.
Sunny the rock climber. That is good news.
Okay, I have some good news. You know, I've talked so many times about Ace's struggles sleeping through the night. And we have probably gone the longest we've ever gone without wake ups in the night. The last time we had a major time of waking up was after we went on our ski trip in February, and he struggled for a few weeks after. But this last time we went to go visit my family in Texas during spring break, he kept sleeping through the night at their house. He came home and he kept sleeping through the night at our house. And he's been sleeping through the night for like since mid-March, I think.
Oh my goodness.
So that's amazing. That's good news.
It's such good news. And I'm just, every morning that I wake up and I'm like, I didn't wake up in the night. It feels so good.
Yes.
My soul.
Man, sleep is everything.
Oh, it's everything.
It's everything. That's good. Good news. We have some good news from a listener too. It's Nina Bonina, 1, 2, 3, 4. I love it. Nina Bobina, 1, 2, 3, 4. I wish that was my Instagram handle or my nickname. I wish everyone called me Nina Bobina. So Nina Bobina, 1, 2, 3, 4 says, Matthew navigated his way following all of the COVID protocols around our home resort this past weekend like a pro. That is some good news when our kiddos can follow those protocols. It's a lot to ask of all of us humans. And then especially our sweet human, little humans with Down syndrome. So good job, Matthew. Good news. I love it. I love that. All right, everybody, we're bringing it. We're turning the corner. Here we go. Thank you so much for joining us, friends. We love to hear from you. So if you have some good news, you can leave it on Instagram, at which our Instagram handle is The Lucky Few Pod. DM us, leave it in the comments. You can email us, hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com. You can go to theluckyfewpodcast.com and hit a link there that will let you leave some good news. We love to hear it. We love to celebrate it with you. And also, if you have a product or a business and you want to help us shout the worth of people with Down syndrome, we would also love to partner with you. And you can email hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com for all sponsorship opportunities. A huge thank you to our editor, Josh Avis, our producer, Val Schleter, our sponsor, and to all of you who have shared the Lucky Few podcast with friends and who have listened faithfully and cheered us on. Don't forget, go subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. And most importantly, dear listeners, remember that you supporting your loved one with Down syndrome, or if you are a person with Down syndrome, you are a shouter of worth and you are a narrative shifter. So keep on keeping on. We are here cheering for you. Until next time, see ya.
Bye.
Bye.